There is a new front line in the battle between secularism and religion in public life, prayers before council meetings. Leicester is the latest city council to ban them. The community's secretary, Eric Pickles, called the decision yet more evidence of an unnecessary and counterproductive trend to suppress Christianity in public life and the public sector. The London Borough of Enfield has relegated prayers to the mayor's office, and there's a legal battle over the issue at Bidford in Devon. Trevor Barnes reports.
Westminster, central London, at the foot of Whitehall and the historic confluence of church and state, where I'm joined by the Bishop of Exeter, Michael Langridge.
We're standing here in front of St. Margaret's Church, which of course is the vicar of the church here, as the speaker, as chaplain in the House of Commons. Across the road here, in the Houses of Parliament, in both the Commons and in the Lords, every day the sessions begin in precisely the same way. The mace is carried in, set down among the members of the chamber, and then prayers are said. And what we have here is an understanding of the British Constitution, that power is exercised by the sovereign in Parliament under God. And what goes on in the two chambers here is mimicked every day in local council chambers up and down the country. And that little ritual is hugely important. We are accountable to something beyond ourselves.
Though for how long remains to be seen. And if Clive Bone, Lib Dem member of Bideford Town Council, had his way, the prayers would disappear tomorrow. He was the man who tabled procedural amendments seeking to end the practice of prayers. The National Secular Society has subsequently taken up the cause. It's not only the council's Latin motto, roughly translated as Fearless for Faith and King, he says, that gives the impression you have to be a believer to be a councillor. It's also the prayers themselves that reinforce the feeling that a public body is a private club.
It's actually been said to me, and it's been suggested in the press, that by becoming a councillor you sign up to the Latin phrase, sorry, I don't think you should. As a non-Christian, I find them embarrassing. I don't wish to be associated with acts of worship of Christians. They also turn people off wanting to become councillors. It's having an effect which I think undermines local government. We are, as a country, culturally a Christian country, but that's not the same as building it into the way we run our 21st century lives.
Well, we're approaching the heart of local government, in Enfield, North London at least, coming into the council chamber, where prayers were said under the previous administration, but not anymore, when Mayor Jane Buckland took office and moved them to the mayor's suite along the corridor. You're a Christian yourself, Jane. Why did you move them?
Well, I had to think very carefully about this because I'm the chair of the meeting. I wanted an inclusive meeting and a smooth running meeting. And what I was finding is that with the multi-faith prayers that have been taking place before the council meeting, a number of councillors have been staying outside the council chamber, waiting for the prayers to finish and then coming in.
But the decision to exclude prayers from the council chamber is criticised by David Burrows, Conservative MP for Enfield Southgate. Far from being pragmatic, he says, it's ideological in nature.
It sends out a very clear message that faith is not welcome in the public square. Over 450 years, prayers have been said at the beginning of the parliamentary day, so if it's good enough for Parliament, recognising the important principle of the authority to govern coming from God, why should it not be recognised in the council chamber?
Most people just do not think about the Constitution as being under God. They see that as an archaic formula that might have applied in the 16th, 17th and 18th centuries, but from the 19th century onwards, as our society became more secular, that's inappropriate.
Well, that was Clive Bone from Bideford, sitting on the grass near the ornamental fountains outside Enfield's Civic Centre. I'm joined by American-born Alan Sitkin, one of Enfield's newly elected Labour councillors. Now, as I understand it, you, as a practising Jew, felt the prayers were divisive. Why?
Well, more than being divisive, I thought that the imposition of a prayer session before the council was offensive, and it has nothing to do with the Jewish perspective. I do pray, but for me it's extremely important that religion be kept private. We're not in a theocracy. We're in a modern democracy which holds dear the principles of human rights. Religion is a fine and wonderful thing, but no one has the right to impose that on me at a certain juncture.
But critics of Alan Sitkin's view say that the real imposition is on the part of the secularists, who seek to impose their own ideology on public life and to chip away at the country's Judeo-Christian heritage. As a result, people like the Bishop of Exeter, Michael Langrish, believe the issue goes far beyond the actions of a few local councils. This historical, civic and religious framework, he says, far from being exclusive, has allowed religious freedom for all, and we lose it at our peril.
Firstly, I am not offended if prayers are from time to time offered by a Muslim or a Sikh. There may be elements in those prayers to which I couldn't personally assent, but whether or not I say Amen is my right. It's the same with any humanist or atheist. They don't have to indicate their assent. But how anyone can feel embarrassed or object to the kind of prayers which I most often hear, which are prayers for peace, which are prayers for truth, which are prayers that we should care for and serve one another, how anyone can object to focusing on concerns such as that at the start of the meeting of public servants is just beyond me.
I agree that the values communicated through the prayers were values that I, in the large, adhere to. But it's not up to anybody else to express them to me. My relationship to God must be a private relationship.
Alan Sitkin. But it's that privatization of Christianity that the Bishop of Exeter, for one, regrets. And he fears the move to marginalize public prayers, even by relocating them along the corridor outside the council chamber, is part of a wider attack on the very nature of our collective life. And he's not alone in wondering where it will all end.
If it's the ending of prayers in the council chamber today, is it going to be prayers on Remembrance Sunday, the next in the firing line? Is it then going to be prayers for troops returning from Afghanistan? And what about all those thousands of people who gathered after the floods or after the shootings in Cumbria, who expect and have a right to turn to the comfort of public prayers on that occasion? Is that to be lost too? What we have here is actually the subtle unpicking of some of the very important threads of the fabric of British public life. That's too important to be left to one or two individuals or even one or two councils.
The Bishop of Exeter ending that report from Trevor Barnes. Do email us if you feel strongly about anything you heard in that report, sunday@bbc.co.uk.